ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying the story of Upakosala. So he was being taught by the fires which he tended with the greatest devotion for 12 years. His teacher Satyakamajabala knew, just as he himself had been revealed the truth through the medium of fire. Really, it was Brahman only, Ishvara only, Hiranyagarbha only, who was revealing himself through the medium of the other devatas, Vayu Devata, Agni Devata, Aditya Devata, and Prana Devata. Same thing is being repeated here. Same teaching is also being repeated here. We have seen until now what the Garhapatyagni had said in our yesterday class. Then we also started the chapter 12, a Dvadasha Khanda, Dakshinagni, part of the three fires. It revealed itself to Upakosala, and it has not said exactly the same words like fires said, I am going to teach you 1/4, I am going to teach you 1/4, etc. But that is what 1/4 of the Brahman is being taught. So we will just recollect what we have studied. Atha ha enam anvaharya pachano anushasasa. Atha, now enam upakosalam. So anvaharya pachana is the name of the southern fire, Dakshinagni. It is a fire which the person who tends to the fires, he sits facing the east, so he keeps a small fire into which, according to the scriptures, he has to offer uncooked grains, etc., towards his right side, which becomes Dakshina. That is why it is called, the Agni itself is called Dakshina Agni, Dakshina Agni. So it revealed itself. It is not fire anymore, it is a Devata. And that is called Hiranyagarbha. So, it started teaching some more aspects of Brahman. What is the idea? When I tell you, these are Brahman, whenever you look at them, you will have to consider them as Brahman. What are those things this Dakshinagni is revealing now? Now we have to also note down here, the same truth, when it is taught by an unqualified person, will not have any effect. But the same words used by a realized soul instantaneously, it will bring an effect only in the case of person who is also ready. The giver must be ready to give, must have something to give. As well, the receiver must also be ready to receive. Both conditions should be fulfilled. Both the copper wires, the transmitter and the wire to which it has to transmit, both have to be of the same fiber. Then only transmission can take place. That's why even on the 1st of January 1886, which usually we celebrate it as the Kalpataru Day, Sri Ramakrishna touched his devotee saying, "May your consciousness be awakened." And when he touched, everybody experienced something. Then two people, they came near, expecting, hoping Sri Ramakrishna would also give them. He was ready to give them, but they were not ready to receive. Then Sri Ramakrishna himself had said that it will not happen today, but later on I will be able to give you something. So his Upakosala was ready, so Bhagavan himself, taking them as it were as instruments, he is revealing the truth. What truth? That whatever we are beholding, it is nothing but manifestation of Brahman. So this Dakshinagni, what did it teach? Apo, Disho, Nakshatrani, Chandrama, Iti. Apaha, the fourth element called the waters. Earlier we have seen Prithivi, the earth. Now he is talking about Apaha, Dishaha. We have seen Satyakamaja Bala had been taught in the very first Vayu Devata. That is the east is Brahman, west is Brahman, etc. Here instead of saying east and west, selling simply Dishaha. Dishaha is a plural number, means all the quarters. That means all space is nothing but Brahman. Whichever way you turn, it is nothing but Brahman. Then Nakshatrani, all the stars, because they are shining. Where from they are deriving their shining property? We have to understand where there is shine, there is also heat. It is the manifestation of Agni. Even if a few sparks are visible, first thing is you will see the light, but as you approach, the heat also is felt. So even though there are some stars which are trillions and trillions of years away, and some so far that their light has been traveling for trillions of years, even has not reached our perceptive limit. So, Nakshatrani, all the stars, they are shining because we can see them. Some we can see a little bit at daytime also. Then, of course, Chandrama, we can see clearly many times the shape of the moon, especially full moon, etc. So, Apaha, Dishaha, Nakshatrani, Chandrama. And what is this Dakshinagni, which is also called Anvaharya Pachanaha, because only uncooked grains are offered to it. It is called Anvaharya Pachanaha. Pachana means cooking. Anvaharya means food which is not cooked. And then, like earlier Garhapati Agni, these are all my forms. And earlier we saw Garhapati Agni selling that pure consciousness, that which makes all of us existent and shining and full of bliss, that is Asti, Bhati, Priyam, or Sat, Chit and Ananda. It is all nothing but I am. The fire is telling, I am that Purusha who is in the Aditya. And here the Anvaharya Pachanagni, Dakshinagni is telling that ya esha chandramasi purusho drushyate so aham asmi sa eva aham asmi. That pure consciousness which is making the moon shine, so that chandra, even chandra can produce, moon can produce a little bit of warmth. So that what we see, that pure consciousness, that is nothing but manifestation of Brahman. It is a manifestation of me, saha aham asmi. So these are all my forms. I am only manifesting as what? As the waters, as the directions, as the stars, and as the moon. And it is being repeated for emphasis. Sa eva aham asmi iti. So the water, the quarters, the stars, and the moon are my special forms. And the person that is seen in the moon, I am he indeed. So this Dakshinagni, Anvaharya Pachanagni had revealed some part of the Brahman. We have to understand it, Hiranyagarbha. Why do we have to understand as Hiranyagarbha? Because these are all experienceable, manifested forms. When we go to Hiranyagarbha, that is also a manifested form, but it is so subtle, we won't see all these. All these are completely, they will merge in Hiranyagarbha, just as all the products of clay merge and only manifest as unformed clay. All the ornaments merge and they are melted and manifest their unformed character. Like that we have to understand. So, we also have to guess, as we mentioned earlier, that as soon as this Upadesha came, the Guru was a realized soul. He knew. That's why with confidence he is telling, I am that Purusha who is seen in the sun, in the moon. I am indeed that Purusha, and that Purusha, I, as that moon, Chandra, am manifesting in the form of waters, the quarters, and the stars, etc. So, you also have to contemplate. Remember, these are for the Upasana. So we presume that Upakosala, being a fit student, immediately had practiced and realized the truth. Having realized the truth, which a truth? That person seen in the moon, or if we take the earlier example, that person seen in the sun, Aditya, he is me. I am indeed that Aditya. So, Upakosala, like the fire, through this act of contemplation, must have realized, I am the Aditya, and these are all my parts, Prithivi, Annam, etc. And here also, Upakosala must have realized, I am the moon, I am the water, I am the quarters, I am the stars, and I am of course the moon. So with this, the 12th section is over. So, another 3 sections are there. Now we move on to the 13th section. So, the third fire. So, in the case of the Satyakama Jabala, 4 devatas came in the form of fires. The Vayu Devata, Agni Devata, Aditya Devata, and Prana Devata. Here they are condensed into 3 fires. So, the last fire, which is called Ahavaniya. Ahavaniya is a fire every day when a householder, especially a Brahmana, has to do certain rituals. He has a original fire, which is named as very aptly Garhapatya Agni. From there, he will have some firewood, dry firewood called samits ready, and he will take a small burning faggot and brings and then lights up, and into this he has to do his main rituals, whatever he has to offer, ghee or other materials. So they believed in that, as we believed in offering fruits, sweets, roots, and so many other things. So they used to offer these things into the fire. So the last fire, third fire, called Ahavaniya. Ahavaniya means that which is borrowed for the sake of daily rituals. And then at the end, when the rituals are over, again, symbolically, they will take a little bit of that fire back to the Garhapatyagni and close down, or they blow out the fire. Every day morning they have to do Perhaps evening they will again put out the fire, and then before that, symbolically, they will take a small burning faggot and return it to the Garhapati Agni. Similarly, also Dakshinagni. Now we are coming to the 13th section, where this Ahavaniya fire, Athaha Enam, Ahavaniya Anu Shashasa. Anu Shashasa means, like earlier teaching, Shashasa, instructed in the next contemplation. So what did this Ahavaniya fire teach? Upakosala, Pranaha, Akashaha, Devuhu, Vidyut, Iti. Again, four things as the main important representations of Brahman. What are they? Pranaha, Prana, Akashaha, space, one of the very first five elements, Devuhu, that is the upper space or higher loka, Vidyut, enlightening. So, ya esha vidyuti purusho drushyate, so aham asmi, sayeva aham asmi. Having instructed that prana, because you are alive, because of Brahman, and you have this space, whatever activities you want to perform, whether you want to do yajnas, yagas, or go on pilgrimage, for every action, space is necessary. And Dyauhu, and there are upper worlds are there. How many? Nearly seven upper worlds are there. Totality, there are 14 lokas are there. That is one model. Three lokas are there. Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Swaha. So whenever person looks up, we only see our space. But as Ramakrishna so clearly experienced, one after the other, he was transcending from one lower loka to the higher loka. When he had the vision of the Saptarshi Mandala, seven rishis, and there only he saw seven rishis merged in deep samadhi for the welfare of the world. So, we do not see them. When we are ready, we will also see them. So, when you see anything is alive, salute it, because that is manifestation of Brahman. What about non-living? You salute them because astitva, the very existence, is also part of that. So, akashaha, space, it is so subtle. It has certain qualities like indivisibility, non-attachment. So, you cannot slice the space, divide the space. Space is not contaminated by anything. Everything is in space. Good smell, bad smell, good, bad. But the space itself remains completely uncontaminated. And it is very, very subtle. And it is almost infinite. Why do we say almost infinite? Because infinite is infinite. But when the infinite becomes an effect, invariably an effect is a finite. That is why it is called mithya. So, everything is limited. Infinite is unlimited. But when it manifests, becomes limited. How does it become limited? It doesn't become limited. But just like you open your eyes and see the vast creation in front of you. But you put a cardboard in front of you with just that much of aperture, which is of the size of a needle. So then that vast space that we experience outside with open eyes is completely limited, becomes very small, and that is not that the space has become less, but my instrument has become less. That is the meaning of creation. Nothing becomes limited, but it appears to be limited. The body limits it, prana limits it, mind limits it, buddhi limits it, anandamaya kosha limits it. That is the lesson we have to learn, and especially in the Taittiriya Upanishad. So, akashaha, dyauhu, the shining upper world. The very word, dyauhu means what? Dyuti. Dyuti means shining. Dyuti means splendorous. All these meanings are there. That's why it is called Dyauh. The higher up we go, more light comes. Even in this physical space, the higher up we go, more unobstructed light will be there. Is it really there? If you go to 50,000 feet in our hemisphere, will you see any light? No, you will not see. Is it not a contradictory statement then? No, because for the light to manifest, there must be an object. Since space doesn't have any object, at that height, there is nothing to reflect. But if you look at the satellite, outer surface of the satellite, it will be like a 50,000 watt bulb. The surface will be shining because there is an object which is manifesting the light. But if you look outside your own vehicle, then you will not get it because not even dust is there. Dust also is absent there. So that is a marvelous truth we have to understand. So that is called Dyauh. And then now and then we see lightning, especially in rainy season. It becomes more manifest. But then you also have to see what they call northern aurora, northern lights. Such beautiful lights will be playing like some cinema show. And to see them, people go to Norway and other northern regions. Sometimes on the cinema scene also, you can see huge blurbs of different colors, colored light will be playing. So they are all vidyut. So I am telling you, when you see a living person, that is manifestation of Brahman. When you look at space, Bhagavan is manifesting as what is called space. When you look up and Vedic people are people at the time of the Vedic times, they used to believe in this, most of the people. So they know, and even today we look up when we are praying to God as if God is somewhere in the upper world and looking down upon us. So all these four, prana, akasha, the higher world, and as well as lightning, when you experience them, you consider Brahman himself is manifesting in that form. And then, like the earlier two fires, Garhapatya Agni and Dakshinagni or Anvaharya Pachanagni, here also the Ahavaniya Agni is telling that all these are four. Prana, Akasha, Dyau, Vidhu are my forms. I am manifesting as that form. Ya, Esha Vidyuti, Purusho Drishyati. That pure manifestation of Brahman in this lightning, especially in the lightning, that which is seen, this fire is telling, that is me. And indeed, I am that Vidyut. So, you contemplate upon this. So, Upakosala must have contemplated. So, in this light, if we see, what do we understand? Garhapatya Agni is the sun, then Dakshina Agni is the moon, then Ahavaniya Agni is the Vidyut. And out of these, the sun, the moon, and the lightning, all the things that we see, and whatever we see is called creation. And this creation is called by two names. What are the names? One is called elements, another is called elementals. Elements and elementals. What is the difference? Elements are only five. The space, the air, the fire, the waters, and the earth. And they have two forms as we know. The original form, that is the subtle form, tanmatras. They are called tanmatras. And of course the panchikruta, that is they combine together and every element contains every other element. Every element first contains 50% of itself and 1/4 of the other four. This is called panchikarana or five elements mixing together. We have discussed about it earlier. So these are called both of these subtle elements and the combined elements, they are called elements. And they are manifesting as me, as you, as the tree, as the insect, as the bird, as amoeba, as the mountain, as the river, as the forest. So, the manifestation of Atman is called elements, and the manifestation of these elements is called elementals, that is the creation. So, what is the idea? Because everything is the manifestation of that one supreme reality called Brahman. O Pakosala, you go on contemplating upon them. And through this contemplation, you will attain maturity. And when you become mature, then your teacher will tell you about the final truth. So with this, the 13th section is also over. And as usual, the earlier first fire, Garhapati Agni said, if you contemplate like this, then you will get this result. Same thing is repeated by the second fire. Same thing is repeated by the third fire. And what is that? What did it repeat? Sa yaha etam evam vidvan upasate. Yaha saha, whoever. Etam, this upasana that we have taught, evam vidvan. Vidvan means first you understand, you listen from your teacher, then develop 100% Shraddha in that teaching, that is called Shravanam. By definition, Shravana is always means hearing something from a qualified teacher and believing it 100% with Shraddha. That is called Shravana. A person may be very intelligent, but he doesn't believe. And that such person, Sri Ramakrishna used to call scholars. And what realization they have, Sri Ramakrishna used to call Gridhra Drishti, Gridhra Vritti. Two new words we will learn. Gridhra Drishti. Drishti means perception. For example, a lustful person sees at every other person with the eyes of lust. A person who is greedy and wants more money, he will look at every person, and he can also many times understand who has real money and who is only pretending that he is a rich man, or borrowed clothes, borrowed car, everything. So, Gridhra means vulture. Vulture's sight. They soar very high. Where is their sight? Are the rotting corpses far below. And Gridhra Drishti is followed by Gridhra Vritti. Vritti means here what? Conduct. Thoughts. Thoughts and actions. So, Gridhra Drishti, Gridhra Vritti. That is what Sri Ramakrishna meant. A vulture soars so high, but do you know where it is? Its sight is fixed on the rotting corpses. That is its food. So, food means enjoyment. Survival, not only survival, but enjoyment also. So, that is being said here, whoever, Vidwan, who is a Vidwan, who listens to the teachings of the teacher with complete faith. I may not understand, but what my teacher has taught me or teaching me is 100% truth. And what is he teaching is called Veda. The word Veda is a very interesting word. So, Vedahametam Purusham Mahantam Aditya Varnam Tamasaha Parastat Veda Aham. So, I know. So, a person who has faith is as if he knows. A baby is in the house and there is a room where there are electric equipment is there, all the switchboard, etc. And some of the wires may be hanging loose. The mother knows if a baby enters into that room, then he may even lose his life. So she tells him, don't enter into that room. There is a bogeyman inside that room. He will kidnap you and go away. And the baby believes 100%. It never doubts the mother's words. So the mother is telling, out of her love for the baby, for the welfare of the baby. Similarly, Veda is considered, in fact, Veda is pronounced as Mata. Shastra is a Mata. She is million times greater than our earthly mother, because Veda Mata always wants our welfare, so our the highest welfare, Parama Purushartha. So like that, such a person is called Vidwan. Anybody who is a college or university professor is not a Vidwan. He has got Gridhra Drishti and Gridhra Vritti. So this Vidwan, having complete faith, then Shramana must lead to Manana and Nididhyasana. The function of Manana is to ponder deeply, to churn what he heard from the teacher, and any remaining doubts must be completely destroyed, because our ancient rishis have recognized that each one of us have got layers and layers of the mind. Even modern psychologists recognize that. The conscious mind, subconscious mind, unconscious mind, but Swami Vivekananda said, you people know only these three. But there is a super conscious mind, where the mind is, albeit unconsciously, aware of the highest reality, and that expresses. How do we know that the mind has always is unconsciously conscious about that highest reality? Because unconsciously the prayer will be there, which is set in words, expressed in words. Asatoma sadgamaya, may I always be immortal. Tamasoma jyotirgamaya, may I be sarvajna, all-knowing. Mrityorma amrutangamaya, may I be anandamaya, ananda swarupa. Not merely being happy, borrowed happiness. Let me realize my identity with the ananda. So such a person, upaste manana and get rid of the doubts. When a person is convinced, that becomes a reality, and that reality, after that, he need not struggle. His struggle is to become one with that reality, but for that so many obstructions may be there. The struggle is not doubting the reality, but to remove the obstructions. Every spiritual sadhana is only to remove the obstruction. Naturally, this happens only when a person gives up unholy lifestyle, what is called adharmika jivana. So he never cannot even unconsciously think of hurting, harming. That is called, some of us call it dharmananda. So that such a person, he contemplates. And yad gunakam upaste tad bhavati. Shankaracharya's marvelous statement, in whichever form a person contemplates, he becomes that form. So if a budding, aspiring musician meditates on a expert musician, ustad, he will become an ustad. And after several lives, suddenly the baby will be recognized and people will be astonished. So many such child prodigies are there. When Mozart was only 4 or 5 years old, he started composing symphonies. He was so small and the piano is so big. Literally he has to run from one end of the piano to the other in order to play what he had in mind. It's a wonderful life, marvelous life. So you will see some people, they are truthful. Some people, they are so scholarly. Some people, so music just flows naturally. Some people, they start composing what is called metrical rhythmic poetry. We are struggling and struggling, and it doesn't come to us. Such a person alone is called Vidwan, and every Vidwan is endowed with Shraddha and Upaste. He starts. Upaste means what? I told you some wonderful point here. As soon as we are convinced, we have no doubt, that becomes our reality. That means we cannot desire what we think is unreal. Nobody will ever desire anything unreal. So I will give you fake Coca-Cola. I will give you a fake 500 rupee note. Nobody will accept it. So this is what is being said. Upaste. Upasthi means upa asti. Slowly approaches near and he becomes one with that contemplated object. And then he says, Yo Purusha Drishyate Soham Asmi. I am that Purusha. Ahameva Soham. There is absolutely no doubt about it. And naturally, he cannot reach that state unless he becomes a pure person. That is being said, Apahate Papakritya. All his thinking of sinful thoughts, speaking of sinful things, and acting sinfully, that becomes completely eradicated, that after some time, he will be incapable of thinking, accepting dharma. So, that is what the result, Loki Bhavati. In this world, he will be the purest person. And that purest person, Sarvam Ayureti. Because of his karma phala, he lives the allotted span of life. Evam Tvayi Nanyetho Asti. Isavasya Upanishad, second mantra, Kurvarneveya Karmani Jijivishet Shatahum Samaha. Evam Tvayi Nanyetho Asti. So you have no choice. This person, he leads that impeccable life, pure life. That is called Apahate Papakritya. No trace, not even a slightest trace of papa can be seen in that person. Naturally, Sarvam Ayuh Eti. So he lives full allotted life. What type of life he leads? Healthy, happy, and light will be coming out of that person's very body. That is what he said. Jok Jivati. Jok means splendor, light, effulgence. Such a person. Not that physically some light comes, but as if whatever he says becomes immediately understandable by worthy people. He can solve problems. He can interpret the scriptures because he knows what he is talking about. So, Jok Jivati, as if he is a shining star. That is why even ordinary persons, when they get some brilliant ideas, unthought of ideas, in the pictures it is a light bulb, a dead which is not burning, suddenly starts glowing, is a symbolism. So here such a person, like the father of Sri Ramakrishna, Kshudiram, like Ramana Maharshi, one look at him and many people fell flat on their at his feet. Jog Jivati. Not only that, if such a person happens to take up to householder's life, and many of the rishis, they did not make this distinction. This is a wonderful point you have to remember. In the Vedic times, this person is a sannyasi and he is far superior to us, and this person is a householder. All this distinction came most likely from the Buddhistic time onwards, because he glorified a monk, even an unqualified monk, is such a great person. But that is why Swamiji said, from the time of Buddhism, from the rising of Buddhism, the downfall of India had come for various reasons, which I am not going, but Swami Vivekananda had pinpointed them. So, Buddha glorified the monastic life. But in Vedic times, we don't see it. What do we see? Rishi Jivana, a life of rishis. They may be married, but they lived like sannyasins. There were, of course, a few people whose lifestyle is, you know, because of they did not like a family life, they don't like anybody's company, but they lived of such a life. Sri Ramakrishna says, these rishis, they used to get up early in the morning, go to seek solitude, solitary places, spend the whole day completely merged in the contemplation of Brahman, come back, return back at the dusk and have some light, healthy food, maybe the fruits, roots, vegetables, etc. And get up early morning, day after day, year after year, until they pass away. They are such persons, are called Mantra Drashta, who is a rishi, a discoverer of truth. Mantra means truth. So, such a person, he doesn't simply live, he becomes a shining light, a guiding light for everybody, And if he chooses, and by the will of God, to remain a householder, he might have children, but he will never have what is called avarapurushaha. Varapurusha means worthy human being. Unworthy people, unspiritual people, worldly people will never be born. So avarapurushaha kshiyante. Nobody will be born. That means even the act of marriage is a sacrament. And even when the husband and wife meet, that is an act of divine union, sacrament. And we get a glimpse of it at the end of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, what a husband and wife do when they are about you to unite. Very interesting study. If you want, you can refer to it. It comes at the very end of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So, such a person, so he will be begetting only worthy children. And then the fires are telling, he worshipped us lifelong. He surrendered to us. So, upayam tam upabhunjamaha. Upayam tam bhunjamaha is the mantra. But we have to do anvaya, proper way of arranging the words. Vayam, we the fires, tam, of such a spiritual aspirant who is doing the upasana, of such upasakas, upabhunjamaha, we protect such a person. Asmimsya loke, amushmimsya loke. So long as he is here, we are going to look after them. And so long as he lives here, we will provide everything for him. As Bhagavan Krishna says, so tesha maham samuttartha, so I am also nitya yoga kshemam vahamyaham. I provide for them what they require, I bring them, and what they keep, we protect so that nobody can take them away. This is the meaning of we the fires. He protected us, we protect him, not only in this asmimsya loke, amushmimsya loka also. Yaha etam evam vidvan upaste. Not only in those olden times, even today, etam is vidya evam vidvan. So, he has complete faith and he understands it properly and he contemplates Bhagavan in the form of Kali, in the form of Narayana, Vishnu, Krishna, Christ, Buddha, Allah, whatever form. And he will become that form. He who, knowing this, meditates on the fire, frees himself from sinful actions, obtains the world of the Anvaharya fire, reaches his full age and lives brightly. His descendants do not perish. We support him in this world and in the other also. Whoever, knowing this, meditates on the fire, he will get exactly the same results. Beautiful mantras. We will discuss this further in our next classes. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.